It's a little bit of a difficult day at times, thinking about loss of Mom. I spent a little time at the graveyard yesterday. My mother passed in 2016, 9 years ago. She was 90 when she passed. And the subject of the sermon is based in the Bible, but it was something that my mom personified. So if you're here and you have some sad thoughts, be of good cheer. The Lord Jesus Christ is capable of giving you the strength that you need through Mother's Day. And if you are a mother, congratulations to you. And we're going to talk about three women today from Judges chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 4 is the story of the victory of Deborah. Chapter 5 is Deborah's song that goes back and explains some of what happened. And there are two other ladies in the story. There's Jael, who was the executioner. And a good mom is an executioner, right? She needs to have that in her life. She needs to execute judgment at times and not be afraid of it, because in the Bible it's supported. So if your name's Jael here, or if it's not, then Jael is a good example. And then there's another lady who, in this passage, who she was a lady who was the mother of Sisera. Jabin was the king, the evil king. Sisera was the captain of the host. He was the leader of the army of Jabin. And Sisera's mother is here, in that Deborah is explaining to her, or talking about Sisera's mother. Sisera was the man that Jael executed in the story. Are you familiar with all of this? Let me go back a little further and let me set this for us so that we can get ourselves set in the story. So we have the beginning of mankind, creation, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And then we have, through Genesis, we have the, basically the high points are the flood with Noah, and then we have the Tower of Babel, we have some other things. We have Abraham, the nation of Israel. God calls the nation of Israel to be his people. And God wants someone to testify to the world about him and the coming Savior. And then we come to God wants to reveal his thoughts and his actions. So when the nation goes down into Egypt that is formed, Moses is their leader. He brings them out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land, and they wander for 40 years. And then Joshua is there, and he takes the people into the promised land. And the dictate is that they take over the promised land and run out all the inhabitants. They're supposed to completely run over the land and take over the land. That is a picture of what we are supposed to do in the Holy Spirit, in Christ's power, in our lives, over our sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so that didn't happen. And so in Judges, leading up to this story, we have God telling the people, you didn't do what you could have done. You didn't possess the land. Now, what I'm going to do with you is I'm going to leave you among the heathen people. When I say that, I want to explain that the heathen people are people that have no faith in God, okay? We at a local church are people of faith. The community of faith is not out in the world. The community of faith is not the Catholic Church. I believe that there are people in the Catholic Church that are people of faith, but that community is a community of faith and works. It's a system of works. And so the people of faith are in the church. And so we come to Judges where God says, I'm going to leave you among the heathen people, the people who worship other gods. I don't want you to marry them. I want you to learn to war. I want you to learn war. Moses knew about war. He knew about warring in this world and warring against the flesh and warring against ungodly people, ungodly philosophies, ungodly gods, gods of the people of this world. And Joshua knew about it. He went into the walls of Jericho, fell down, and he knew about war. When it came to the possessing of the land, they did a little fighting, they did some possessing, and then it came to the time when they would not fight anymore. They began to mix with the people of the land. And so the judges, the time of the judges, were times when God would raise up a man to deliver them from their idol worship. So we go into chapter 4, and we've already had four judges deliver the people, and we come to chapter 4, and if you're there and you have your Bible, I'll start the text. It says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Now you remember Ehud was the man who had an 18-inch long knife, and he took a messenger into Eglon. He took a message. They said, I'm going to send a message to Eglon. And he took his 18-inch long knife and he shoved it in the belly of the fat man. The Bible says he was a very fat man, and he shoved the knife into Eglon's belly and the dirt came out. And I'm not sure what that is, except probably his insides. So that was Ehud. He was a deliverer of Israel. And then, so after Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver them into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And I said earlier that that's Jael. Deborah said, you know what, we're going to go to battle, but you're not going to be a hero coming out of this, because there's a lady out there that's going to do something for us. She's going to get the honor. And her name was Jael. And so he told Barak that in the beginning. Now, Deborah, if you know your Bible, you think back to Hebrews chapter 11, we have Barak, who was called by Deborah to go out in war against Jabin, but we don't have Deborah there in the Hall of Faith. Those people in Hebrews 11, Barak's listed there. There are four judges listed there, people who were commended for their faith in Jesus Christ, their faith in the coming Savior, their faith in God. Barak's one of them. Deborah's not there, but Deborah's running with the people of faith. And when I say the people of faith, I say that you and I, we are in and among people of no faith. I was with a group of people that were not people of faith last night. I was chauffeuring them around to their different parties. And took them out to a dinner, and then I took them to a sporting event, and I took them to a bar, and I'm sitting there at the bar last night in my chauffeur, my Mercedes chauffeur, and they wanted to stop one last time before they ended their evening. They wanted to go in and have a drink, so I'm sitting out there, and so I got my Bible, so I'm reading Judges 4 and 5, thinking about today. I am sitting there in the Mercedes. I'm a person of faith. They're in the bar. They're the people of no faith. They're not my enemies, but I know the lay of the land. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to, as a Christian, as a person of faith, you have to know the lay of the land, and you have to know what to fight against, and where to stand, and where not to give in to, where not to get access to, and you have to know when you're in danger, and you have to get out of there. I sense none of that, but I did understand that I'm the guy that's a believer in Christ. I have faith in Christ. I have a certain deportment, a certain way that I follow Jesus Christ by faith, and they don't have that. They have a moral standard. They figured that moral standard out from all the input that they've got in this world. It's a temporary moral standard. Most everybody that you run into every day, they have a certain moral standard. They're good people, but they create that moral standard that they live by, not from God's word. They don't do it as a matter of faith. I'm there in the Mercedes, and I'm looking to God. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My standard is the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is God's word. I have accepted it. I live by it. And they are not like that. They can't quote a verse. They don't know. Everything that I do, everywhere I go, verses are coming to mind. Is this by faith? Am I living by faith in this? But most people don't do that. And so you have here Barak and Deborah, and they go to battle. Look at verse 13. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Horesheth of the Gentiles under the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? You know what Deborah knew? She had a sense of knowing when it was time to win. When she was going to war and when she was going to win. She had a sense of timing. She knew what to say, what to do, when to do it, what it was about. She lived her life with a conscience toward God, and God led her and helped her. And she knew what to do, and she did it. Look, it says here in verse 15, And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died.
Let me read that again.
This is in your Bible, okay? God put this in your Bible for you. Here's what he says. Here's the story again. I repeat. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died.
Isn't that great? Doesn't that make you feel good?
Let me read it again, okay? Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples. You get the picture? And fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Could you do it? I mean, physically. Can you do that? Can I do that? I don't know if I can do that physically. He must have been awfully tired and awfully asleep, right? But here's a lady who sensed that she was serving God. And she saw an opportunity to serve him by executing this evil man. And she did it. She accomplished it. And this is an example on Mother's Day for us. For young ladies and old. I remember when my mother, I walked into my living room of my home. I sat down. I was an unbeliever. I was a self-serving, unbelieving, heathenistic lifestyle person at 19 years old. Walked into my living room of my home, sat down on the couch and put my leg up over the chair. And my mother started to talk to me about Jesus Christ and giving my life to Christ. And I said, come off with the religious stuff, Mom. Big bragger that I was, big time guy, you know. And she came over to me like Jael came with a nail and the hammer. And she said, I'm going to tell you something, Ron. If you weren't a sinner and on your way to hell, why did Jesus have to die for you? And I felt that same execution feeling that Jael must have felt that day when she took that hammer and that nail and hammered it through his temples. And I said, I didn't say nothing. I said to my mom, I surrender. So, this is Mother's Day. Women take courage in what Jael did. Men, beware. Don't get too tired. But this is Jael. This is the story here. And fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And look at part two of the story, verse 22. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him. And said unto him, come and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. Think about that. The guy's dead in her tent. She just executed him. And she comes out to the tent door, and here comes the captain Barak, who's the leader of the army. And she walks out to Barak and she says, I have something to show you. She takes him into the tent. and says, "Come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest." And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued. Now here, God's putting his stamp of approval on this right here. Watch this. God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. John and I were talking on the way. John's a friend of mine who I met, what was it, about 6 weeks ago, maybe. John is, gotten to know John. He texted me and said, "I'd like to come to church today." So I'm going out to Petersburg. Yeah, I'll go. And he was a saved guy, and met him at McDonald's, and kind of, the Lord kind of put us together. And so he was talking to me this morning about how you have to continue to, we were talking about how you have to continue to war and to fight against the flesh. I'll probably let him talk next time I come out here. Maybe I should do it now, John. But he's part of the Janney. I don't know if you remember the Janney Hardware family. Janney Hardware in West Toledo. He's part of that family. Your mom was a Janney, right, John? And I love John. We have spent quite a bit of time together for guys that just met each other. But he was talking about a guy who just fell back into his addiction. And we were talking about how important it is to stay on edge, to fight, and to execute judgment upon yourself. Generally talking about this subject of fighting in the spirit and knowing how to have what you need to fight against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil. It's important to know that. And so the story goes on, and in verse 5, we have Deborah. Watch this. "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying..." They sang a duet, right? Deborah and Barak, they got a duet going. They were singing, and here's Deborah praising the Lord. Here's the execution of Sisera and the subduing of the army. And like the heavy weight of the world and the flesh and the devil, the heavy weight lifting off of Israel, it was so heavy that they couldn't walk on the streets. It's talking about the inhabitants of the community. And one of the reasons Deborah was motivated to do this was because she saw the condition of the neighborhood, she saw the condition of the country, the civil condition. And the people were walking in fear. They couldn't walk on the highways. They were creeping through the woods. And, Jabin and Sisera and his army were oppressing the people. And their lifestyle was being broken. And they had to be hid. And so Deborah is now saying, "Praise the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." And when I got saved, I didn't know anything about Israel. I don't know why. I knew Billy Graham. I knew "Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me." I knew I was a sinner. When my mom told me that I was the reason why Jesus had to die on the cross and take hell for me, that I deserved to go to hell. I received Christ, surrendered to Christ, but I didn't know anything about Israel. I didn't know Israel was even tied into Jesus Christ. I didn't know none of that. And then I started to go to church, and I started to look at the Bible, and I found out that Jesus Christ came out physically of Israel. He was a Jew. I don't know if you remember the day when you realized that or not. You may have earlier on if you were in church, but I wasn't in a church where they taught me that. And so what you're going to have as a Christian is you're going to have a natural affinity,
a natural affinity because of the Spirit of God that lives in you, you're a saved person, you're going to have a natural inclination to like Israel, even though they put your Savior on a cross and crucified him. So when Deborah's here, she's representing God and Israel, and she says, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O king, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." The Lord God of Israel. Turn to Psalm 2 quickly. I'm not going to belabor this, but I do want to show you that this Savior is a Israeli. We have an Israeli Savior. Okay. Think of it. Think of that. That's incredible. Here's Psalm 2. This is talking about Jesus Christ. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." That's talking about Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was in his ascension body after the resurrection. You remember the Easter? We had Easter 3 weeks ago. Was it 3 weeks ago now? Quite a while. 3 weeks ago now. For 40 days after the resurrection, in his resurrected body, Jesus Christ was on earth. He came and talked to disciples. He told them what different things. He appeared to them. He ate one time with them. After he died and rose again in a physical body for 40 days on earth. Okay? "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said, Thou art my son. This day I have begotten. Ask of me and I shall give thee" what? "The heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces with a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So we are peaceful Christians, right? The Bible says that we should be. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, joy. But God is not going to be peaceful with the heathen. Jesus Christ, when he comes again, he's going to rule and reign and destroy everything that doesn't bow down to him, right? Bow the knee to Jesus Christ. So, learn more. Judges chapter 5, and I'll show you Sisera's, we'll be done after I show you Sisera's mother here. So Deborah sings the song. She talks about Shamgar in verse 6. She talks about Jael. What I just said, the highways, verse 6, were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased and then she arose. And verse 7, "Then I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel." And then she begins to talk about Sisera's mother. She repeats in verse 24, gives praise to Jael. "Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish.
She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera, she smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. That's not the same verse we read before. This is a repeat of it. Okay? It's very vivid. Verse 27, at her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. This is incredible. And then it says, here's the mother of Sisera. It might be imaginary with Deborah. This might be something that she did not know. But I think this is written for us to see the contrast between a godly mother who wins the battle of execution over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the mother who pats, so to speak, suffers her son to be evil and does not execute judgment and actually almost promotes his ill behavior. And so Deborah here is imagining the mother of Sisera, but I think it's really the way it was. I believe it's really what it was. And she says this of it. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" She wasn't used to Sisera not coming back with a spoil. She was a mother who, when her son came back with an evil spoil, she liked it. She got used to it. She enjoyed that her son was conquering in the world, that he was hunting and gathering and bringing home the spoil. There's someone else that this reminds me of, and it's Esau. Esau was a mighty hunter. And he was out hunting for prey. And he was an evil man, the father of the Edomites. And so the mother of Sisera has a son named Sisera. And he's this pillager. You remember when you did some pillaging in your life? Maybe you don't. I do. I remember when I was on the hunt for myself, the hunt for my glory, hunting daily for my own pleasure. And you have a mother of the hunter who is saying, "Why is he not coming home? I'm not used to this." And she says, "Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself. Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey?" Watch this. "To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil." You have Sisera's mother here, and she is the son of a plunderer, and she has had a hand in that, I believe. Be careful, moms. Be careful that you don't raise a plunderer, right? Be careful that you execute the kind of judgment that's Christian with those that you deal with, whether they're your children or whether they're people in the community.
Don't raise a plunderer. If you see that someone is out hunting for the spoil, trying to get for themselves, that should be something you reject. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. And here's the three results of the godliness of Deborah and the fact that she was a mom that won. I don't even know she was a mom. Doesn't even say that. She's a lady who won. The enemies of God around her were destroyed. The other thing was, there was light again in darkness. And finally, there was rest in the community. We have a Savior who loves everybody. But we have a Savior who this world rejects. And we as Christians are in a world of people who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not love the Lord will not help you to serve the Lord. But those who do love the Lord will help you serve the Lord. And so I give kudos to my mom, because she was a lady who, in probably when she was 50 years old, surrendered her life totally, 100% to Jesus Christ, changed churches. She was in a church that believed in works. She transferred churches, lost her church friends. They cussed at her, told her she was evil for believing that Jesus Christ could, that's all you needed, that you didn't have to be baptized to go to heaven. My mom and dad left that church after they got kicked out. We got kicked out because we believed that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. You didn't have to get baptized. There's nothing else you could do except come to Christ. Nothing but faith in Christ. Faith alone for salvation. And then after she did that, she came and she put her finger in my face and said, "You're a sinner. Your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. He suffered your hell for you, and you're not even grateful for it." It was at that time when my mother executed that judgment. She basically witnessed to me in a strong way that I gave my life to Christ. I've had the same sessions with my children. There are times as a parent, as a mother, as a father, that you have to say, "You're wrong. It's wrong." You have to execute the judgment that God says. And I give a shout out to my mom. I think that everybody should be nice. I like to be nice. We just want to be nice, but we are a generation that needs to learn. I believe. I'm a person who needs to learn. Even at 71 years old, I'm a person that needs to learn how to keep fighting the flesh, keep fighting the world, keep fighting the devil, stay on guard, keep my defense up. I need to be pure and clean and in the Bible. I need to have scriptures in my mind every day. All day, every day. I need to have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ every day in my life. And so do you. If you came this morning I wonder what your sermon was. I wonder what your sermon is so far this morning. I wonder what it was this morning. Was your sermon you? Or was your sermon that's going on right now in your head and your heart? Was your sermon you? Was your sermon the Lord, Jesus Christ, and others? You have to figure that out. And so, Deborah, industrious leader, mother of Israel, jail, executing the judgment of God upon sin, or Sisera. Oh, my little boy, isn't he so cute? Look at him tearing up the flowers outside. Look at him. Look at him taking those girls off and doing this and that. And then, you know, you shouldn't do that, sonny boy. You know, that was Sisera's mom. You poor little baby. I know you're a little devil, but you're my son. If you lean on that side of this idea, the philosophy that's going on, you're going to ruin communities, you'll ruin your kids, and so be faithful to the judgment of God on this. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be clean, pure, holy, and he wants you to stand up and speak up for righteousness and for him. And with that, we'll pray. Father, thank you for this time. So many different thoughts. The one thought is that ultimately you're going to stand on this earth as king over the whole world, and that we will be there with you. Help us to be faithful and live for you in such a way that we won't be ashamed before you at your coming. In your name we pray.